Matthew chapter 21, and always try to have you turn to an Old Testament and New Testament scripture. I want you to turn to Zechariah chapter 9 as well. So Matthew chapter 21 and Zechariah chapter 9. You can use your smartphone. I know some of you bring your Bible, some of you use your smartphone. And my dad and my Uncle Jack are up here on the front row, and they use the screen, they said. So thank God I brought the scriptures on the screen. Well, today, if you haven't been here, we finished up the series Samson last Sunday. It was a three-part series. Samson is told in Judges chapter 13 through chapter 16. I encourage everyone to go see the movie. Jade and I went and saw the movie. It's very good, so I encourage all of you to do that while it's still out. And I know they're releasing a new movie called Paul, the Apostle Paul, so I'm excited about that as well. We're having all these biblical movies coming out. But we finished up that series last Sunday, and today we're starting our Easter. Today we're going to talk about Palm Sunday. I felt like we needed to do a message, and that's the title of the message, is Palm Sunday, and what it represents and what it speaks to us today. Palm Sunday, if you don't know the history behind this, is it's the day that Jesus began his triumphant entry into Jerusalem on the first day that he was going in Jerusalem to go to the cross for us. And what I found out when I was studying this, guys, is that only 8 events are recorded in all 4 Gospels, meaning only 8 have been recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And one of those, that's one of the 8, is Palm Sunday. So it's very important what we're going to learn here today. Meaning the disciples knew this is very important. It was a prophetic prophecy was fulfilled in it. This is something that the Lord wants us to know about. And it's actually the first day of the week of Jesus' life on earth. It's the first day of the last week of Jesus' life on earth. It actually starts Holy Week. And so we're going to look at, I love all 4 gospel accounts of it, and I've read all 4 of them. And I really wanted to use Mark because that's my favorite book in the Bible. But we're going to use Matthew, my brother Matthew. I have a brother named Matt. And Matthew chapter 21. And I'm actually going to put it up on this big screen for us as well. It's verses 1 through 11. It says, "As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent 2 disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there.'" Now, I want you to realize, in this culture, a donkey was worth a lot of money to a family, okay? It was a beast of burden. They used it in farming and everything. You know, we don't think too much of donkeys around here, but in their culture, they did, okay? That was like the Cadillac of the family, by the way. And so, it says, "You will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." I love that. "This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches, these were palm branches, from the trees and spread them on the road. That's why it's called Palm Sunday. You can find that in the other gospel accounts. "The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven.'" And Hosanna means save now. "When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, 'Who is this?' And the crowds answered, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.'" And so if you're taking notes there on the back of your bulletin, and I encourage you to do so, I'm going to give you 4 things about Palm Sunday that every one of us need to know and remember. And here's number 1. Number 1 is promise, write down, promise of God fulfilled. Everybody say that, promise of God fulfilled. All right, that's number 1. That's the first thing that we can get out of Matthew chapter 21 plus all the other gospel accounts of Palm Sunday. And Matthew actually, and some of the other gospel accounts do it as well. That's number 1, promise of God fulfilled. He's looking back at an Old Testament scripture in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. This is where the prophet Zechariah said, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That was prophesied about it was like 450 to 500 years before this actual event happened. And I loved when Jesus said, to fulfill scripture, he told two of his disciples and said, I want you to go get me this donkey in a nearby village. And if the owner asks you, what are you doing? Just tell him that the Lord has need of it. And they went and got him, and no questions asked. And I often wonder, I was like, God, did you speak to that guy in a dream at night or something that Jesus was going to need your donkey? And I was sitting here thinking this morning, I see my Uncle Jack and my dad on the front row be like me saying, hey, guys, I want a brand new Harley that nobody has ridden before. Go find me one and tell them that the pastor has need of it. But that's equivalent to what this was back in Jesus' day. And I found this interesting about the donkey. I did a little study on the donkey. And legend tells us that the donkey that carried Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, this donkey actually stuck around town. This is legend, what legend says. Stuck around town and followed him to Calvary. And then afterwards, the disciples got him back to the owner. Appalled by the sight of Jesus on the cross, the donkey turned away but would not leave. It is said that the shadow of the cross fell upon the shoulders and the back of the donkey. And a cross marking, some of you that know about a donkey, I don't know a whole lot about a donkey, but a cross marking found on many donkeys today remains a testimony of the love and devotion of a humble little donkey that day carrying Jesus into Jerusalem. And I thought that was a pretty neat deal. And evidently, I think most, if not all, donkeys are born with that cross on the middle of their back up there. But so from Zechariah 9:9, it's telling us that Jesus is a king. This is what that prophecy is saying. Jesus is a king. He's coming to his people. He's coming lowly and gentle, and that's huge because the people were expecting him to come in and overthrow Rome, but he had a whole nother agenda. And it also says that he's coming in peace. When a king rode a donkey, it was a symbol of peace, that he's coming in peace. Now, if he was coming on a stallion, and one day he will be on that white horse, he's coming in a conquering king. But in this situation, he was coming in peace. What he was saying that day to Jerusalem and to all the people that were there, I'm not coming to dominate. I'm coming to you to die for you and all of humanity and all of mankind. I'm coming to die for you on the cross. That's what he was saying. Now, as I was thinking about this, this was a promise that God fulfilled that day from Zechariah chapter 9:9. I was thinking about promises in our lives that God speaks to us. And I want to share something with you because I know there's some of you in here that you've got some promises that haven't happened yet. And I'm telling you to hang on. Amen. God's going to fulfill them. And this is 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. It says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. He wants to minister those promises to us and through us. And I was thinking about, you know, I'm going to share something very personal with me that I've shared here before, but I'm going to share the scriptures behind it as well, is when we're living on this earth, guys, we need promises that we can cling to. Amen? And it's God's word that's going to stand the test of time. And I can look around the room here, and I know there's several of you in here who's went through, you know, and are going through. Some of you are actually going through things right now, and you're just hanging on to the promises of God. And I am encouraging you to keep hanging on this morning. Don't buy the lie of the enemy to give up. This is not a time to quit, and we need promises to cling to. And I'll never forget when Jade and I, when I first surrendered, you know, I hate to use the word surrender, but I felt the call of God on my life to minister his word, to be a pastor, and I'd surrendered to that. And we were living in Elk City at the time. This was back in 1998, and our little boy had asphyxiated, or actually what it was this what they called dry drowning. We'd taken him to this pool the day before. He'd got some water into his lungs, and the next day his lungs were, you know, seizing up. We didn't know it. He was acting very lethargic, and we just thought we wore him out. And we didn't find this out till 10 years later. There's a big, long name for it, but it's actually called dry drowning. And we have learned that there's, and I'm telling you this so that if you're, you know, the summer's coming up, spring, summer, is if you've got little ones, you know, just watch them around a pool. And if they start acting like that, get to the doctor immediately so that you can get oxygen in them. That's what they need. We didn't know that at the time. I just thought we wore him out the day before. Later that evening is whenever he had that seizure because he wasn't getting air to himself. And so during that time, we were in the hospital for 4 days, and he was on a, you know, basically a ventilator and life support. And the doctor told us, said he's no longer here, you know, and I knew where he was at. God had already told me that he's in heaven. He's with me. He's okay. And God even spoke to me. He said, Mark, if you could see him now, you wouldn't want him to come back. Now, that was hard for me to accept because I'm dad and mom and dad. And I was like, and I knew when I walked back into that room and where his body was at and everything, that I had two choices. I either cling on to God or I go belly up to a bar somewhere and drink my life away. I mean, really, that was what was going through my mind. And I said, I'm going to cling to God. I'm going to cling to him. I'm going to cling to his promises. This is not what I signed up for. I all these things. And I had all the whys and God, where are you at? What about your promises? Why isn't he here? All those kind of things. And my Aunt Paulita, who I'm going to get to see tomorrow, came there, and Dad was there. The whole family was there. And my Aunt Paulita came in and she said, Mark, while I was on the way over here, I heard a scripture on the radio, and I just want to give it to you. And it's Colossians 2:6. And she says, and it just says this, real simple. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. That was it. And I clung on to that. Now, I want to read the rest of it in context to you because it's powerful. And so, because I've had those, the enemy try to come and bring those lies and deception. And it says in verse 7, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Basically, what he was saying was the devil's coming to deceive you, so don't listen to him. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. And God was even telling me, even over this death. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And I was like, that's what I'm clinging to. And we sang, Rachel sang about it today, I'm going to cling to the old rugged cross. That's what I'm going to cling to. That's where my hope's at. And I'm going to get to see my son again, and I believe this wholeheartedly. I'm going to see Jesus, and then I'm going to see Jaden, and he's going to be the one that gets to lead me around heaven and show me everything. And I can't wait for that day. But that's a promise that's going to happen in the future. But I got to cling on to the Lord for that to happen. Some of us need promises today. How many of you need a promise today? I'm going to give you a promise today. I'm going to give you three of them that I love. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That's a good refrigerator scripture, by the way. Okay, these are good dashboard scriptures in your vehicle. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I know that's one of Mark Ward's favorite scriptures. And then Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Those are just three of my favorites, and there is lots of them in Scripture. Find you one, whatever you're going through, find you one and cling on to it. Amen? Till that promise is fulfilled in your life. So God fulfills his promises. His promises are yes and amen. Here's the second thing about the Palm Sunday as we're celebrating the arrival of the king. The arrival of the king is coming in Jerusalem. And when I was studying this, I found out I didn't really know this, but history tells us that at the same time that Jesus was coming in from the east into Jerusalem, thousands of people were there because it was the week of Passover. They're celebrating Passover. It was also the same day where Jewish families were selecting the lamb that they were going to sacrifice for their families. That was the same day, so that was not coincidence that Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on that same day. It was basically the draft day for lambs. You know, they had 5 days before they were going to be slaughtered, but Jesus was the Lamb of God. So here's the arrival of the king, and it's saying that Jesus was coming in from the east, but who was coming in from the west was Pontius Pilate, who was a Roman governor. So there were two different victory parades going on both sides of the cities, history says, coming into town. Some of them were at Jesus's, some of them were at Pontius Pilate's. The whole city of Jerusalem was under Roman rule. And so when they saw Jesus coming in, riding on a donkey, everybody was thinking, here he comes, the prophet of Nazareth that we have from Galilee that we've been talking about, has been doing all these great signs and wonders. He is coming to overthrow Rome. He's our Messiah. He's going to do it. He's our Savior. And Jesus is riding in, and that's not on his agenda. And his agenda is to go to the cross. And so I wrote this down because I just made a fun. Me and God have a sense of humor. So I want you to get this vision, all right? Pontius Pilate is riding in on a limo. Jesus is riding in on a moped. That's basically what it looks like, okay? And there's people coming in to see Jesus. There's people coming to see Pontius Pilate on both sides of the city. And really what Jesus is saying, he's saying what's going on in that picture is there's a struggle of two kingdoms going on at the same time. And Jesus is saying, I come from a different kind of kingdom, and I'm ushering in a new kind of kingdom, not a kingdom of this world. And I started thinking about this. How many of you have ever felt that struggle of kingdoms going on inside of you, the kingdom of darkness and God's kingdom? I have, many a time. So there's a struggle of two kingdoms going on inside of us. And the question I want to ask you is, whose victory parade are you in? Whose victory parade are you in? If you were there that day, would you go to Jesus or would you go to Pontius Pilate? And we all have that decision to make. It's called the choice. We've got to choose who we're going to serve. We're either going to serve this world or we're going to serve the Lord. And Colossians 1:13 says this. It says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. That's what God has done for us. God wants us to choose his kingdom, and that's why he sent Jesus to defeat the kingdom of darkness and bring us into the kingdom of his Son. So how many of you are in the kingdom of God today and are proud of it? I am. Amen. All right. Here's the next thing. The third thing is the Lamb of God set apart. And this is talking about Jesus. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Let me go ahead and just pull that up. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, for Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. And what that is saying is that Jesus is our Passover Lamb. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, they were saying all the lamb sacrifice for sin is stopping today. Behold, Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, is coming in. And it was speaking back to Exodus. Most of you know this story, but I'm going to paraphrase it and tell you anyway, is the Passover Lamb in the Old Testament. And, you know, God was trying to change Pharaoh's mind and sent the 10 plagues and all those things. And then the plague of the firstborn son, and God instructed Moses, tell all the children of Israel to put the blood over their doorpost. And the way they did it was their doorpost, they'd put the blood up here, then they'd put blood on both sides of the corners. The blood would drip, and it would actually form a cross is what it was back then. And they didn't even know it. God was speaking about the sacrifice of his son even back then. And God told him, said, when I see the blood over your doorpost, over your homes, I will pass over you. And so here's what happens. When you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God has passed over your sins. You're forgiven. There's no judgment on you. Don't believe the lie of the enemy that says, well, there's no guilt or shame in God's kingdom. That's the enemy doing that to you. You're free. Look at somebody and say, I've been passed over. I have been passed over. God passes over our sins and forgives us. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Now, here's the last thing, and number four, and Messiah that's misunderstood. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, I want you to spend a little bit more time on this part, because I think there's some of you in here, I have saw myself in this, that sometimes we, in our relationship with God, even though we're saved and we love the Lord, there's sometimes we try to get our own wisdom mixed up in there with God, and God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen. And we have to, that's where submission to the King is. That's where He's King, I'm not. He's God, I'm not. Thank God for all that. But sometimes we get caught up, even as believers, we get caught up in trying to mix our own little finite minds into God, because we were created in His image. Now, the word Hosanna, I said it earlier, means save now. And what was going on when everybody saw Jesus coming, it was the Jewish people, you know, going to Jesus. A lot of the Roman people went to see Pontius Pilate, and they're believing that Jesus is the Messiah, and He's the Messiah right now. He's going to save us now, now. They were going to get saved, but it was an eternal salvation. It wasn't just now. And so the crowds looked for a Messiah who would rescue them politically and free them nationally, but Jesus had come to save them spiritually. First things first, and mankind's primary need is spiritual, not political, cultural, or national salvation. And we even have this spirit alive in America today. We think, you know who my president is? Jesus. No matter who's in office, that's who my president is. You know, and we need to pray for our president and pray for those that are in those authoritative positions. But, you know, I'm living in a different kingdom. Amen. I may be affected by the things that happen around here and what's going on, you know, in our nation and what's going on out here in Western Oklahoma, you know, the oil field and all that and the economy and all. I may be affected by it, but I live in this world, but I'm not of it. And thank God. You're from a different, you're a citizen of heaven. You've got to walk around like that and believe that. And sometimes we get caught up and let the enemy go, well, you're just living this old nasty world. And no, guys, we can pray heaven on earth. We really can. And it's all about, and I was talking to Dad about this morning, it's all about the lens that you look through. You can look and see this nasty old world, or you can look through this lens of, you know what, I'm bringing heaven to earth wherever I go. I'm God's ambassador on the earth. But when I was studying this, I got to thinking, you know what, we're a lot like the crowd in our relationship with the Lord, meaning that we have... We have the, about being fickle, is you saw the crowd, that same crowd that was saying Hosanna to God in the highest, believe it or not, is the same crowd later that week that was yelling crucify Him, because He didn't do what they thought He should do. He was a Messiah that was misunderstood. So the definition of fickle is changing frequently, especially as regards one's loyalties, interests, or affection. And I'm going to tell you guys, I'm a pastor, and there's been times, I had to look really hard at myself, there's been times in my life that I've been fickle in my relationship with God. How many fickle people in here with me? But you know what? God loves us anyway. Amen? How many of you ever been mad at your parents? You still loved them anyway, right? And they still loved you anyway. We've all been there. But when as I was digging into this further, I had to realize, guys, and this is something that just shook me to the core, because God showed me, said, Mark, you have made an idol out of something in your life at times that has not let me do what I want in your life. And I was like, what is that? And I'm going to tell you what it is. You might want to write this down. And I had to stop and think, I think all of us have done this. If you're living and breathing, I think every one of us have done this. Sometimes we fall into the trap of we worship the God of what we think He should do. I'm going to say that again. We fall into the trap of where we worship the God of what we think He should do. And I have fallen in that trap many a time. And guys, I'm going to tell you, that's idol worship, because you're actually putting your thinking that your thoughts are better than God's thoughts. And there's a bigger picture at play here. Look at somebody and say, there's a bigger picture. It's not just you and the selfie. Page. It's not just you and the selfie. There's a whole other. I like giving our young people a hard time, especially Paige. I got close to Paige when we went on a youth camp one time, and you'll just have to ask her about Steve, and I'm going to leave it at that. Love our youth, but we worship the God of what we think he should do. And I'm going to tell you something, and you need to write this down. The plan of God for your life is better than your plan. It is. It's so much better. Now, you may, I have to stop and think, well, then, God, why did that happen with Jaden? And God, all I've ever heard God tell me was, Mark, trust me. Trust me. Keep walking with me. Some of you have been through things, with parents. I see Dusty back there, and Dusty, his mother went home to be with the Lord, and his dad. And I was thinking, Jade and I were out yesterday, and we were getting ready for this this funeral dinner tomorrow. And Jada was like, Mark, did we ever write that down? Because Jacqueline knew how to cook, and she knew how to feed a lot of people at one time. And we used to do Holy Week down here, and Jacqueline always took care of Holy Week and a spaghetti dinner. And she would just, it was almost like Jesus feeding the 5,000. It was just like, it just manifested, And she just made it seem so effortless, too. And Jada was like, I know we wrote that down somewhere. So we was up here yesterday at the church trying to dig through files, trying to find this whole deal that Jacqueline had wrote down, how to feed a whole bunch of people a spaghetti dinner. And we didn't find it, but yesterday it was Jacqueline's birthday, and we were actually in Walmart, and I told Jada, I said, you know what? We can pray to God to say, tell Jacqueline to somehow get it in our minds how to get this all. So we got all this stuff for the spaghetti dinner yesterday, and I believe Jacqueline was right there with Jesus saying, help them, Lord, help them, And we're like, Jesus, we need you. We're going to feed, 50 people, and we feel like we're trying to feed 5,000. But so we were thinking about Jacqueline the other day. And I don't know where I was going with that, Dusty. I just saw him, Dusty, sitting back there. See, that's the pastor going down rabbit trails. But we've all been through stuff like that, and we don't know why, but God's plan is bigger than our plan. We don't. And that's where you just got to trust God and walk with him and live in him. Proverbs 16:9 says this, in their hearts, humans plan their course. And I'm telling you, we don't just, don't throw out the plan, okay? You've got to have a plan for your life, but be open to let the Lord establish your steps is basically what this scripture is saying. Make a plan, but let God establish your steps in that plan, because it may not be exactly the way you think it ought to be. So don't get hung up in worshiping the God of what we think he should do. Now, I'm going to tell you, give you these 4 points again. And this is what the 4 points were. It's an acronym for Palm Sunday. It's promise of God fulfilled, arrival of the King, Lamb of God set apart, and Messiah that's misunderstood. And that's Palm Sunday. Now, guys, this is my closing, my first closing. Everybody ready? First closing. This is Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. It says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him, we're looking to Easter Sunday. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day when we're actually doing that before the throne of God. Now, I want you to look at your palms right now. Look at your palms, the palms that God, your paws, your palms that God gave you. And I want to tell you something that, we're celebrating Palm Sunday today. And when I was studying this, I found a scripture that I know I've read several times, but it just jumped out at me because it had palm in it. But you are going to hold a palm branch one day in the palm of your hands. And this is in Revelation 7, verse 9. It says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. And if you know Jesus, now everybody in this room does, and if you don't, you're going to know before you leave here today. From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. You're going to hold a palm branch in your hand one day before the throne of God. Isn't that going to be awesome? Guys, I cannot wait till that day. But we've got a job to do, and that's to get the word out, spread the word, spread the gospel, and bring more people in the kingdom of God. And everybody said, amen. And it's not just the pastor's job. My job is to equip you to do it. I'm looking around the room here. You're in circles that I'm not in. You know, I see Clark back there who ministers to a lot of guys out in the oil field. You guys are in all kinds of different circles. You're a minister. You're an ambassador for the Lord, whatever circle that you're in. And don't ever forget that. Amen. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I don't take this, you know, for granted every Sunday, because I look around here and I know most of you. I know pretty much everybody in here today. But I don't want to take it for granted that you know the Lord. And so I want to make sure that you do before you leave here today. And the Bible makes it very clear how easy it is, that all we have to do is confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. We don't have to come and get all cleaned up. The Holy Spirit takes care of that as we come to Him. You come just as you are. And the Bible says, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And then whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we're all whosoever's in here this morning. So I want to lead you in a prayer. It's actually a prayer of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I don't like calling it the sinner's prayer, because you're going from a sinner to a saint right now when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So this is the saint's prayer. So I want you to repeat this prayer after me. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. And the very next thing that you need to do is to follow the Lord in water baptism. And I know Jordan just did that. And Jordan, would you like to do that on Easter Sunday? Okay. So Easter Sunday, we're going to have water baptisms. We try to do that every year. And so if you have never done that, or maybe you have and you say, oh, Pastor, I want to do that again, just get with me after service, because we're going to do that next Sunday, on Easter Sunday here. Okay? Everybody said amen. Amen. All right, everybody stand up, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you this morning. I love blessing people. It's because God likes blessing people. So if you're standing there next to your spouse or a friend, I want you to grab their hands, family member, dad and Uncle Jack. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have fun celebrating Palm Sunday today. Be sure, and if you can, be back with us this evening at 6 for the community Easter service. And we'll have finger foods afterwards. God bless you guys. Have a blessed week. And get the word out about Easter. We're going to pack the house for Easter. Breaking all our chains of shame apart. Hear the news.
stir.